Welcome back to Dating Games, the Modern Relationships Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Temps, and our guest this week is a rising star in US comedy and fellow podcaster as host of the Mental Health Awareness Podcast, which I'll say is not only a great listen, but also extra impressive to me because it's video recorded. Meanwhile, I find podcasting enough pressure, just audio. So here to chat relationships, new parenting, and so much more, it's Miles Weber.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
No, of course. And I was saying to you off air, I've not long woken up because I overslept from a nap because I had someone to stay last night. And so I'm feeling great about that. But we will find out together how awake I am during this interview.
Oh, that's fine. I'll poke and prod you enough. We'll get you awake. It'll be like a jolt of coffee.
And so I feel like we should start off by checking in. So where you're at with relationships. So you are married, you've not long had a kid at the end of last year. How's that been?
Great, man. Yes. I am married. My wife and I have been together for 6 years. We've been together for 9 years. We've been friends for 12 years. So we've been around each other for a good chunk of our life. But yeah, we just had our first kid mid-December last year. So he's coming up on 3 months on St. Patrick's Day. And man, it's wild. Yeah, it's definitely one of those things where it seems insulting to try and explain to people who don't have kids what it's like, because it's like, it's just a waste of energy. Like, you just, think of the capacity you have for love up to this point, for like anything or person important in your life, and then just wipe your ass with that, because you have no concept of the fear. You know, like when you get that, like that, you grit your teeth because you're feeling such an intense emotion. Like, mm-hmm. It's like that, but with love for this little human. Like, you're just like, oh God, what is happening? Like, it's such a weird feeling. But also, like, I feel very accomplished to be a comic, you know, starting my own business from home, helping entertainers and other comedians, to where I have been here for every day of my son's life so far. So, I mean, in and of itself, I've like watched him grow in my hands, and I'm there for every smile and every horrible crime scene of a diaper. Some of those are hate crimes that are in that diaper, and I know that. But yeah, man, it's been dope. It's been super cool and very, very gratifying in a lot of ways to have a kid. It's like every day there's a lot of ones and ends you get when you're a new parent. You know, there's a lot of tens where you're like, oh my God, he's so perfect. You made a miracle. What a blessing. And there's a lot of ones where you're like, dude, just go to sleep. Like, just seriously, like, please, for the love of God, go to sleep. Like, you know how you're mad right now because you're tired? Do less. Just do less. You'll drift into a gentle slumber. So it's a lot of those every day, but wouldn't trade it for the world, man. It's been awesome.
Yeah. I saw you recorded a podcast episode recently where you started off by being like, so the baby's just gone to sleep, so I will be whispering.
Yes.
But yeah, I was reading up recently, actually, about part of that sort of response we have to like young kids or even to like pets, the cuteness that we almost kind of can't contemplate. And that's supposedly part of the reason why we want to like squeeze chubby cheeks or just like hold pets really tight, because it's like our brain being like, I don't know what to do with it. It's almost too cute. I've got to like squeeze it. It's almost like subconsciously we'll just make it disappear because we don't know how to deal with the emotional reaction that we're having.
It is. You really are just like, what is this feeling and how do I just get it out of my body? Because it's just like, it teeters on danger because you're just like, I can't squeeze you as much as I want to. You'll die. Like, so how do I navigate this? Like, and yeah, same with the puppy, you know, you're just like, oh, it's so cute. Look at it. And so, yeah, there's just so many things that light up in your brain where it's like, the fascinating biological response to be like, oh, this is just part of being a human being. You can fight it as much as you want, but this is usually the feeling that you're supposed to be getting, you know? Mm-hmm. And if you don't, you should probably go to therapy because there's some stuff that's wrong with you if you're not feeling those feelings. So yeah, man, it's wild what happens in your brain when these like cuteness things spring up, you know? Mm-hmm.
And I hear a lot of new parents talk about the ways in which they look at their partner differently, seeing them in such a different role and finding a whole different kind of love for them. Is that something you've had?
Absolutely, man. I mean, I look at my wife in such a different light. I mean, it's like she's a different human now. You know, just so much of us has changed since he's been here. And you do kind of look, and I'm like, man, especially like from the man's perspective, looking at your wife, it's like you grew a human for months and just carried that thing around. And it was just, and your body was doing all these weird things, and like navigating that was its own process. And then the sacrifices a woman makes with her body to be able to carry a child. It's like, yeah, is your skin going to bounce back the way you want it to? It might not, you know, it might not be exactly the way you want it to be. You know, other things that happen in the healing process is this whole thing that people don't even consider once you've had a kid that is impressive. But it's more just like looking at her like, man, the sacrifices that you've made with your body in the name of bringing new life into this world is insanity. And so for me, it's like more attraction. Just for me, of just like seeing her grow into this new human who's responsible for such beautiful life. I'm just like, dude, this is dope. That's where I don't get when guys are just like, oh, well, you know, she's fat. It's like, dude, she carried a human for hella long. And like, how much of that is fat? The placenta. Like, do you know what's happening in her body actually? Or do you not like reading? Like, it's a miracle what just happened. And her body was the vessel for that miracle. If that doesn't make you rock hard, you need to check your pulse. Like, so yeah, man, it's finding the new ways to kind of be like, you're sexy in new ways. Like, you're just a different person who's just like got this baby on her hip and making sure that they're okay and everything. That becomes enticing. And then inversely, like, women are turned on when you're a good dad. Like, you're all you gotta do is just love this kid and support him. And my wife's just like, get over here right now. Like, so there's this enticing energy. Like, how many times do you hear the sexy hot dad trope? You know, I mean, that's kind of painted in media a lot, and there's weight to it. You know, being a good dad is a sexy thing. So there are all these new aspects of our relationship that we're kind of opening the doors to and navigating through. And it's exciting. It's cool. You know, some of it's weird, but I mean, like, yeah, man, it's really dope.
Yes, absolutely. And I feel like there's such a cross section there between the people that the guys that say stupid comments like that, and then also a phrase that I know you hate, which is we're pregnant.
Yeah, that's the joke I've been doing. Yeah, man, it's just, it feels weird saying that we're pregnant because nothing cool happened in my body. Like, I just did one less thing. I stayed in. That's all I did. You know, it doesn't deserve any type of kudos or applause, just like maybe a fist bump or something. So yeah, like when they're like, we're pregnant, it's just like, your wife is pregnant. Like, you did the funnest part. Which is, yeah, no condom, stay in there. Like, oh yeah, it sounds like you had a really difficult time in this process. Really, it's more just, I can get more on the side of like the we're pregnant. It's like, if you're helping through the pregnancy, because I read a lot of the pregnancy books, and we got the, you know, what to expect when you're expecting and stuff like that. And I got this first time dad's book, which essentially was just everything from what to expect when you're expecting. And then little hints like, yeah, you know, like, rub her back, or like, do the dishes, you know, like, get her food, cook. And I'm like, I swear to God, if this is just like, yeah, just don't be an asshole and be helpful, I'm going to lose it. And that's all the book was just be helpful, help out, do things, let her rest. And I'm like, why is it that this book needed to be written for this? Like, this should just go without saying. So yeah. Man, it's wild how the male assumption and how it works.
Yes. Yeah, definitely points for that. And yeah, that is crazy to think that the book basically boils down to remember that it's also your kid and you should be doing something.
Right?
Because biologically, she's got a big head start.
Yes, absolutely she does. And, or like dads who are like, oh yeah, I'll babysit the kid. And it's like, you mean parent? Mm. Like, when you're watching your kid that's not babysitting, you're parenting. Like, so just the framing in their mind of like, okay, so you've already got a level of detachment from this kid to where you're like, oh, I'll babysit. No, man, you're not getting paid. Like, you're not inviting somebody over to make out during. No, this is your kid. You're watching your kid. That's parenting. So yeah, the vernacular, questionable at best at times.
For sure. And this, I mean, your relationship, I'm already very invested. This sounds like a great family. But I feel like we should contrast it with a dating story. And let's hear about the times before.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, like, my dating story is actually the wild dating story of my wife and I. So this is perfect that we're, you know, leading into this because, yeah, man, it was a tangled web that we wove to get here, man. It was a wild ride. So starting from the beginning, I remember the first time I saw my wife was the corner of the street in front of my home comedy club in Northern California. And I was just a couple of years into doing stand-up, and we had a mutual friend who was performing that night. So I saw him talking to her and then her boyfriend at the time. And I had a girlfriend at the time, but I remember seeing her and I was, you know, you see a lady and you stop in your tracks because you're like, I didn't know they made those. And it was very that, and to the point where in order to buy myself time to figure out what to say to her, I bent down to like tie my shoe, but it wasn't untied. So I had to untie my shoe to retie it to buy time to figure out what to say to this lady. Right? Stupid. So I'm just like, and hello would have been a great start, but I'm just like, oh my God. And so I walk up to them and I meet her, and once she starts talking, I'm just like, there's no way you're a real human because I've got this drop-dead gorgeous woman in front of me. And she's talking about how she was trying out for Tough Enough at the time, which was WWE or, you know, pro wrestling over here. That was like their audition show that they had if you wanted to be a professional wrestler, you know, like Hulk Hogan and shit. And so she was trying to be a professional wrestler when we first met. And I didn't know there were other women who liked wrestling. And so her and I talked about pro wrestling for like 30 minutes. And her boyfriend hated me because who's this funny guy coming up? And my girlfriend is now like talking at long lengths about pro wrestling with him, like, get off my Kool-Aid. So he really didn't like me. And then from then on, we stayed in close contact. She would always come out to the shows that I was doing. You know, I did a couple of like big shows and recordings and stuff. And she made a point to come out. And then she ended up breaking up with that guy. She moved to Washington State for a couple of years. We stayed in constant contact. When I went up and did shows up there, we would meet up and she would come support the show and we would hang out. And then she moved back to California a couple of years later. When she moved back, I was the first person that she hit up. Now, pretense, I have no concept of this being within the realm of possibility. I just assume she's so out of my league that this isn't a tangible possibility. So I'm not even entertaining this at all as a possibility. And that's just kind of how I've always carried myself. Like, I've never made the first move with a woman in my life. Never. Because I super don't want to rape anybody. And so I just kind of like, hands up, whatever's going to happen to me is going to happen to me. And then we could kind of go from there. And I'm like, okay, you're touching my penis. I'm pretty sure I know what to do next. Even then, I would like consent all along the way. So I'm just not that guy to like assume the sale, you know? So she hit me up when she moved back. Like, I was the first person she hit up. And she's like, hey, I'm moving back. Would love to grab lunch or something and catch up with you. And I was like, dope, let's do it. And so we meet up at the mall and we go have lunch. And she's super awesome. And it's great catching up with her. But at the time, I was kind of like talking to this girl. And it was like starting to like look like it was going to become a girlfriend type thing. And we were kind of testing it out to see if that was swingable. And so she's there. And in her mind, she's like, yeah, let me see. I'm single now. Let me see if I can like see what's up with him. But then I'm like, oh yeah, like I'm talking to this chick and I'm actually going to like go get her some jewelry right now. You want to come with me? And she's like, yeah, sure. She's just a good soldier. Mm-hmm. So I'm awkwardly taking my future wife to help me shop for jewelry for a girl who I'm like very underwhelmed that I'm talking to. And so, and even in like going to pick out the necklace, the guy was like, oh, that's going to look great on you. And she's like, it's for his girlfriend. Actually, I'm just the friend that's here. And they were like, ooh, this is awkward. And I'm like, yeah. So anyways, let's keep it moving. So we get the necklace I give it to the girl. It goes okay. But like the relationship isn't going very well. You know, like it's kind of on rocky waters. I catch myself complaining to my then friend at the time about it and everything like that. And she's just really laying it on. And I am just beyond stupid that I have no concept that she's hitting on me. It's completely unfair. Here's the example. One night we do a comedy show. She comes to the show. After the show, we go to Denny's with the other comics, which is, you know, you go to a diner till the sun comes up after a comedy show. Very routine. Middle of the night, the comics and our friends leave, and her and I happened to be sitting on the same side of the booth next to each other, like the whole night. And we just stayed sitting next to each other in the booth for like the next 2 hours. And all we talked about was sex, like what she's into, what she's not into. And I'm like, that's weird. She's giving me all her cheat codes. I don't know why she would say this to me. And to any gentleman out there listening, if a woman brings up sex around you, she's interested in having sex with you. There's at least a level of interest, because if they don't want to have sex with you, they'll be like, sex, what's that? Is that a new Thai food? Like they will just completely disregard the notion of sex. If they don't want to have it with you, they won't bring it up. And so the fact that she was laying it on for that long, I missed the hint. It gets worse. Then I was on rocky waters with this girl that I was lightweight dating, and I was venting to my then friend about it. And I was like, man, tonight I'm pulling out all the stops. Like, I'm trying everything. I got the strawberries. I got the whipped cream. I got the chocolate, like the candles. If this doesn't fix things, then nothing will, and it's dead in the water. And so my then friend says, well, if it doesn't work out and you need somebody to come over and help you eat the strawberries and the chocolate and the whipped cream, I'm totally available. And to which I say, oh, that's so nice that you're not wasteful. Like, there's starving kids in Africa, and you're super concerned that this food isn't going to go to waste. So I really appreciate, I have no concept that she's hitting on me. And then fast forward a few weeks later, I was doing some gigs on the road. The whole day, me and this girl, we were fighting. And I'm just like, this isn't going to work out. And I was venting to my then friend about it. And she's like, Dumper, dude, like, you could do better. You deserve better. This is not working. You're like 3 months in. There shouldn't be issues right now. This should be the easy part. So just dump her, like, move on. And so I ended up dumping her. And then I told my then friend, hey, I'm single now. So I pulled the trigger. So it's all good. And she was like, awesome. Super exciting. Hey, I just got out of the shower. Did I miss a spot? And she sent me a picture of her ass. And I was like, no, you're good. You got all the spots. That's incredible. And then I'm like, I think I know what's going on here. So let's try and find out. And so then it was a matter of like, hey, you want to hang out this week when I get back home? And she was like, absolutely, let's hang out. And so she came over to my place and we were kind of flirting. And I'm like, this might happen. I think a thing's going to happen. So, all righty, let's see what happens. And so I'm at my apartment. She gets there. When she gets there, I'm watching this show that was on MTV for a very short amount of time here in the States. And it's called Friend Zone. And it's literally people who are friends and one of them has a crush on the other and they like think that they're going on a blind date with somebody and they show up and it's them and then they confess their love to them. And then if they want to go on the date, they go on the date. But if they just want to stay friends, then they stay in the friend zone. And that's the synopsis of the show. The irony that she shows up and this is what I'm watching. And then I'm like, no, let's finish the episode. It's almost over. So we finished the episode and then she saddled up and we hooked up and I'm like, okay, I think she likes me. So I think we know what's going on here. And that was like our first date. And even then, the first date was, it was just such a weird thing that I did. Like, I mean, she comes over and we hook up and then went and grabbed burgers somewhere. We come back and I put on the movie 50-50. Right, with Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Seth Rogen, where Joseph Gordon-Levitt has cancer. Because my wife, in the early stages of our friendship, she had ovarian cancer twice, and she's actually a survivor. And so I put that on, and I'm like, hey, yeah, you probably like this movie. This is kind of your life. Like,
You had cancer. He had cancer. He gets cheated on in the movie. You got cheated on. And so, like, yeah, you know, super good memories, right? And she's just such a good trooper. She's like, yeah, let's watch this movie. Sure, totally. Oh, man, super entertaining. Yeah, you want to have sex again so we don't have to watch this? I'm like, sure, totally. So that day went well. Then fast forward.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
I don't really want that girl I was talking to have such an expensive piece of jewelry, given that, like, I gave it to you like 2 weeks ago and this didn't work out. It seems like that's within reason to be like, hey, can I get that back? And so I typed up this long text message, like asking for the necklace back. And so then I showed my wife, like, hey, like, what do you think of sending this to the lady? She doesn't read it. She just clicks send. She's like, that's probably fine. And I'm like, how do you know I didn't like say a bunch of jokey shit, like fucking with her? Like, and she's like, I mean, that's not my problem. Like, don't put the phone in front of my face if you didn't want me to send the text message. And so we end up sending it. And then I ended up getting the necklace back and I returned it because my wife was like, I probably don't want that. And I was like, yeah, it seems a little weird just taking this from somebody else and then just giving it to you. So maybe we'll just return it and I'll get you something nice later. But hey, man, and that's been us ever since, you know, like I said, we've been friends for 12 years, together for 9, married for 6, and just had our first kid. So that was kind of like the wild and crazy journey on our way to where we're at now, which is moving and shaking, banging all cylinders, living life, doing the good stuff.
I love that story. What's your wife's name?
Heather.
Okay. So that is one of my favorite stories I've actually ever heard on the podcast. But almost even more than that, I have so much respect for Heather and her perseverance because you really were not getting it. And as somebody that has definitely been that guy plenty, I can see it. I can see the mistakes that you've made. I've been there. And, you know, particularly the choice of film. And yes. Yet, you know, this is, you know, why she seems so wonderful. And actually, in a way, she kind of has a similarity with a lot of the women in comedy that I interview, where there is, you know, a determination and a drive and a, you know, going out there every night on your own and knowing what you want to achieve in a male-dominated industry. And then at the same time, she's also dealing with another, you know, certainly stereotyped as male industry in wrestling and all kinds of martial arts. And there you are showing up and not being intimidated by that. And yet so many of the women in comedy I speak to, the fact that they have a mic, the fact that they've been, you know, a guy's seen them on stage 5 minutes ago, the smallest things can seem to intimidate a lot of guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, yeah, man, there's a lot of insecurity in guys. You know, I mean, I think the conversation's finally happening about, like, you know, the toxic masculinity and insecurity and all these types of things that have just kind of been upheld in male-dominated societies for as long as we've been keeping records of things. And so the conversation, I think, is finally starting to happen. So you're starting to see, like, the journey towards male mental health and well-being being a more tangible, achievable goal. But right now, it's just, there's a lot of guys that just don't want to. And so, yeah, there's a lot of egos, a lot of fragility where it's like, oh, she's funny too. Or like, oh, that seems like a strong woman. Like, how am I going to be perceived next to her? And it's just like, is that really the most important thing about a relationship? Is just how others perceive you? Or is it how you exist and show up
in that relationship? Is that the most important thing? You know, and at the end of the day, that is the most important thing, is that you're showing up for each other and you're just being yourself, you know? So, I mean, it was kind of a blessing in disguise that I didn't know that she was hitting on me, because it allowed me to just unapologetically be myself. And that's really, if somebody's going to be around you where you're just being you as hard as you can, and they're like, this is my jam, actually, that's the person that you stand a chance to make it with. You know, you can go the distance with that type of person. That's what you want, is, and that's why like being friends for so long was so fundamental. Most people get into a relationship with somebody, the first like year of relationship, you're barely telling each other the truth. Like, you don't even fart in front of the person for a certain amount of time. So it's like, dude, being friends first, the mask is off. You know all of their shit. Like, there aren't as many surprises, and then you just kind of feel like you can let your hair down and just be yourself. But yeah, there's a lot of ego with a lot of guys, where it's like, you can't be too successful, or I can't feel, and it's just like, dude, we're a team now. Like, if we're together, we're a team, we're a unit, we function as one. So when you win, I win, when I win, you win, and we both win, everybody wins. So yeah, it's not a competition. Stop turning every aspect of life into a competition. Like, I mean, this is somebody you're trying to paint a beautiful life with, so work on your brush strokes and less on your bitching about, oh, well, she's too strong. And a lot of people love my wife. Like, you know how many times like I meet comics or people in the industry, and then I introduce them to my wife, and then every time I see them, they're like, where's Heather? And why did you show up without her? How dare you? Like, every time. And so I just kind of accepted, just like, yeah, man, she's a great person. That's why I'm with her. So it makes sense when other people see that in her. And it's weird to look at it as an intimidation, because it's like, isn't that part of the reason that you liked her and are attracted to her in the first place, was the strength, the stability, the determination, just her being her own person and being unapologetically herself? Like, that should be why you are drawn to her, and not why you're going to get all up in your feelings about it. So yeah, man, it's just really just kind of accepting who you are and understanding we're a team. So everybody wins if we both win.
Yes, 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 yes. And points for that. And I think it's such a strange combo you can come across, of that kind of like ego combined with insecurity, because when you have certain insecurities, but you're doing whatever else, but not working on them, then it can come out in quite a narcissistic way, where it can be the same guys that kind of want a trophy wife that they can parade around and be like, look what I caught, can be the same ones that are actually terrified of any woman that's real with them, that actually tells them what they think and has a life of their own. And, you know, actually, in many ways, bring stuff to the relationship. Because I don't know, if you're just basing it on looks alone and who's a pushover, I don't think that lasts. You know, when I see people that, you know, end up getting married and settling down with somebody, it's so often, I think, particularly with straight guys, you see it's the woman that has been there, has been around, has been supportive, has been a part of their life. And they get to a point where they're like, oh yeah, this really fits. This works together. We bring a lot to each other. And, you know, is that not what we're all out here for? Is that not what we want? But we can, you know, sometimes get so caught in our patterns that it actually takes being like, oh, I mean, in your case even, oh, you've been here all the time and I've not even realized what you were putting down. And it's so contrary to this idea of like the men pick. It's like, women know how to make themselves available or unavailable to us.
All the time. Absolutely. Absolutely. They do. 100%. So yeah, man, and it's a weird thing, like you said, like the look what I caught. And it's just like, dude, what are you doing? Like the trophy wife trope. And it's just like, is that really like what you don't want to like somebody to challenge you and be invested in your growth? Because I mean, like, if you're with somebody who's invested in your growth, they're gonna kind of challenge your dark spots, you know, where it's just like, hey, man, it seems like you're kind of flubbing here. How can we make that better? But that again is like peeling back insecurity. A lot of guys take it personally, or they tie their identity to that aspect of their character, and they don't know that it's hindering them now, as opposed to helping. And so and that was what happened with my wife. You know, I mean, I threw myself on stand-up comedy when I was 19 years old, and it's all I knew. It's all I was doing. Like, when she came around, I didn't I had never touched a drug. I didn't really drink. I didn't really have any hobbies. I was just comedy, 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 comedy. Like that, I would eat, sleep, and breathe it, man. And so she added so many layers to my life. Like, hey, it seems like, you know, you're kind of like pigeonholing yourself in this area. Or hey, maybe you had some like predispositions and thoughts and opinions on this type of thing, but maybe it could be worth like getting your hands dirty in it and seeing what it's actually like, you know, trying it out. Hey, maybe we can diversify your life so you have like something worth telling audiences about. And that really was just a lot of her just being like, hey, you might want to work on this. You might want to work on this. And she was working on herself too. And so we were mutually invested in that. But that only was able to happen because I was open to the change. And I knew like, oh yeah, yeah. If I want to keep this cool person around in my life, I have to kind of keep growing and changing and evolving as a person. And so I'd say, you know, now I'm definitely a way better human than I was before her. And she's opened my eyes to so many different things. So it's like, if you can get past your ego, if you can allow yourself to be open to how do I grow as a person? And then how do I grow with a person? You know, because sometimes you grow apart. You know, I mean, you both are on your own journeys growing as individuals. And every now and then you grow into different people and sometimes you grow apart. And that's okay. You know, but the conscious mutual growth in a relationship is so important to nourish. And at the end of the day, if you growing as a person means that you grow apart eventually in your relationship, ultimately, it's the biggest sign of love to let that person just continue to grow without you in that regard. And you can still be friends, right? You know, I mean, if you love them, let them go. And so if that has to happen, that's the ultimate sign of love, you know, and appreciation and respect. But we're fortunate to where we're growing together. And like, we're definitely alongside of each other. And like, the growth is happening at the same time. And we're constantly checking on each other and making sure that each other is happy and fulfilled in the relationship. And we're able to just kind of grow alongside each other. And it's been a really cool thing to see. But that didn't come without its own growing pains of me like having to let my ego die kicking and screaming a few times, you know, and it didn't come without its challenges. So yeah, man, that's very important.
Yes, and the listeners can't see, but I've just been nodding away the whole time. I'm very invested in this. You guys sound great. And before we start wrapping up, I want to ask you about something else, which I know has ended up being a way that a lot of people have found your comedy, which is you making bits around homophobia being one of the things that doesn't make sense of a lot of men's behavior. Do you mind sharing a bit about your thoughts there?
Dude, yeah. Like, I mean, yeah, the joke I do is I don't understand the concept of homophobia. Like, I got friends where if I wear a pink shirt, they'll be like, that's gay. And I'm like, if this shirt made you think of two dudes having sex with each other, I don't know that I'm the gay one, homie. Like, because that's kind of the thing, right, with homophobia. And they've done studies now, which have been so fascinating to read, where statistically, if you're homophobic, you're probably gay. They did tests on guys, and they had straight guys, and they showed them the one pornos, and they had the guys who said that they were super straight and didn't like gay people, and they showed them certain pornos of like gay stuff, and they got aroused like inadvertently. Like there was a point of arousal that was happening in their brain and sometimes down there too. So I mean, like statistically speaking, the homophobia comes from a place of fear of like, oh no, I might be attracted to that type of person. So I feel like it's going to be bad for me in the public eye and to my friends if they find out that I am this way. So instead, let me just belittle these people. Let me tear them down. Let me try and go after them. If only we knew how many of our bullies wanted to bang us back in high school, right? Like it would have been so much easier of a time. Because at the end of the day, yeah, there's some bullies I know from back in the day when I was younger. And now I'm like, oh, you're super gay. That's the best. So yeah, man, just like the concept is very, very lost on me because it's just like, are we still there? Really? Is that still an issue? Like, what's your problem? Like, I've had this conversation with guys where they're just like, yeah, man, I just don't like all that gay stuff. I'm like, your life? What are you searching for on the internet? Like, where? How does this keep on? You're giving a lot of energy to this. So what's the problem? Like, well, I don't know why they got to be all like flamboyant and talk like a lady or something. And I'm like, were they convincing? Like, did you think for a second that they were a lady? Like, I'm missing the problem. Like, this person talks a certain way. So do I. So do you. Like, we all never a logical thing, you know? So it's just maddening where it's just like, how are we still doing this? And then also, maybe you should try dick. It's probably not that bad. Like, I mean, like, I say to these guys usually, and they get super upset. And it's just like, okay, you have to understand, being upset at this is you giving your energy away to it. So if I see a person that comes up to me and they're like, hi, my name is such and such, and I'm gay, and these are my pronouns, I'll be like, dope, nice to meet you. I'll try and remember that. And then I move on with my life. A homophobic person will be like, oh, why you gotta be that way? Man, that's stupid. I don't like that gay stuff. And then they go home and they're in the car and they're like, that stupid gay stuff. I didn't like that he was like this. And then he did this. And then they call their friend. They're like, man, I talked to this gay guy and he got me super upset because he's all like this. Then they go to the barber shop and they're like, I couldn't understand that. Homie, you've now taken this gay dude isn't even here anymore physically, but he is dominating your life. He lives in your head rent free. So it's just like, clearly, you feel a certain way about these people that you must give them your energy. You must give them your power. So what does that say about you deep down inside? Is there something about them that you find enticing? And it would just mean that it would be an ego death if you might be into that. And guess what, guys? Bisexuality is totally a thing. You don't have to just choose dick or vagina, you can have it all, man. I mean, like, twice the options here. Like, so guys just get this weird thing where it's like their buddies are going to insult them. Because, and at the end of the day, what's the insult? Oh, man, you're gay. It's like, okay, yeah, sure. What else you got to say? Well, I mean, you know, that's just gay. And it's like, are we really going to do this? Like, you're not even making sense anymore. And why are you upset? So, yeah, man, like, there's just, I'm a big proponent of logic. And whenever there's homophobia, or like whenever there's transphobia now, which is the other thing that's just driving me up the wall, like having the conversations with people who are just like, oh, trans people are mentally ill. And I'm like, well, what about trans people is mentally ill? Well, they look at themselves and see that they feel like their body isn't the way it's supposed to be. So then they have surgery to become a different person. And I'm like, and that's being mentally ill? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, you're going to hate fake tits.
Yeah. Don't go to Hollywood.
Don't go to Hollywood. Definitely. I mean, at that point, it's just like, okay. So, and all these laws are being passed now in certain states in the United States about, like, you know, going after the parents of trans people. And it's just like, the surgeon took the money and did the procedure, right? So where's your weird line? Why are we going after the parents and not the surgeons? Like, make it not a practice if you really want it to not be a thing. So it's just the whole thing of just everything they're grasping at straws with, just like, oh, well, you know, I mean, the bathroom thing, they're going to try and bang our kids. No, they're not. They're super not. And it's really weird that you're into the bathroom thing about protecting your kids, because white vans have been a thing for forever. And that's always been our connotation with people trying to bang kids, which is like the rapey white van with no windows, the trail of candy or the bike or whatever. Like, why aren't we not selling white vans anymore? So it's just like their lines, their boundaries, they don't make any sense. It doesn't make sense for you to be upset here, but not upset here. Why aren't you being upset here too? Because based on your logic, you should be mad at both, but you're only mad at one. So it probably means that you just don't understand this person, and you should just have more gay friends, have more trans friends. Trans people are dope. Gay people are funny as hell. They're some of the funniest people I've ever met on the planet. The funniest people on this planet are gay people and black women. And I will take that to the grave and argue it until I die. Like, yeah, man, they're cool people. They're fun. They get a parade. Go to Pride. Like, even if you're straight, there's tits everywhere. Like, so yeah, it's just the pushback is so rooted in literally no logic at all. It drives me crazy. And my favorite thing to do is poke these people like a bear and make their head explode, because it's just like, yeah, you don't believe in what you're saying. You really don't believe in what you're saying.
Yes. And that's it. That's what I try and do these days. It's just, how can you bat any kind of ignorance back at the person? Because the logic will not hold up. They will not have enough information to properly explain their perspective. And so let's just sit back. Let's not try and explain why people have the right to exist. Things that surely we've got, and enough people are behind now, and instead be like, no, go on, explain why you care so much about this. you know, like that's one of my favorite Whoopi Goldberg jokes, which is, you know, it's almost not a joke. It's so straightforward, where she says, you know, I've always thought for people that have a problem with gay marriage, just don't marry a gay person.
Yeah. Or like, if you got a problem with gay people, straight people, stop making them. Two gays don't make a gay. Two straights make a gay. Statistically, that's, yeah, two straight people had sex and now we have a gay person. So it's just like, dude, the logic is so unfounded on anything. It's just, it's absolutely maddening. And just like you said, keep them talking. You'll they will give you the rope to hang themselves if you just keep them talking, because you will find the illogical fallacy easily, and then they will just harp on it, and then they'll be so angry. And like, you see a person that's getting all up in their feelings about that, it's just like, okay, that's a human being who just gave you all of their power. Because I mean, like, they were doing okay and now they're upset and it's because of something you say. That's just me sticking to your fur. I live in your head rent free, and that's just showing that I got power over you. And it's over what? It's like some people bang each other. Like, yeah, like you're, it's weird that you're so into like what people are doing and how they're having sex. And it's like, at the end of the day, who are they hurting? Who is getting hurt by two people of the same sex loving each other? Who is getting hurt by a person having a procedure to where now they feel like they're comfortable in their own skin and they're in the body that they want to be in?
Yeah.
And when they talk about like, you know, well, I mean, what are people going to say about them? And that's kind of them hurting themselves. And it's like, okay, you using that argument is upholding that very standard. Like, you are now speaking on behalf of the opposite side of society who is going to be harsh to these people instead of being on their side. Like, you're not on their side if that's the side you're taking. Like, if you're like, well, what's society going to say? They're going to say what you're saying, maybe. And that's a really messed up thing you're saying. So why don't you join forces? And then when you see people saying that stuff, be like, hey, that's not cool. They're good people. Just let them be, you know? So yeah, man, it's wild, but I think it's going to change in the coming years. We're going to have to go through a lot to get there, but I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So we just got to keep on. When you see something, say something.
Yes, and I agree so much with all of that. I think the only thing I'd really add is he says and then immediately forgets it, and this is why we edit the show. What was I going to say? Now we've remembered that I've just woken up. We were doing so well.
Trans people, we were talking about the bathrooms, we were talking about being accepting of gay people, weird hills to die on with logical leaps. Any of that striking anything? Because I forget stuff too, and it drives me crazy.
Oh, and I do think it's happening to me more. Or maybe I'm just forgetting it. Maybe I'm just forgetting the older times that I forgot stuff, and I'm remembering the newer ones. Is that how this worked? No, I think I was going to say something around, yeah, how ridiculous a lot of this logic is. And I've got it back. And Pete, you can leave that in. We'll see. Maybe we keep that. Maybe we keep a bit of honesty of how often I forget things, because normally we protect the listeners from it. No, I was going to say, the thing that really gets me lately is particularly, I think, with a lot of what happened around the murder of George Floyd and a lot of the very disappointing conversations that I had with white people during that time, was this whole concept that sort of like, you know, often is framing what you're describing of this whole like playing devil's advocate thing. And I think that needs to go straight in the bin right now / hundreds of years ago, because it's such a position of privilege that seems to go entirely unchecked of like, oh, so things that are oppression for other people, you get to play with as a loose concept that's fun to bat around because these people's lives don't, you know, seemingly apply to you in your mind. You think you're so above other people's suffering that it's just a fun hypothetical to be like, oh, what about trans people in the Olympics? And it's like, of all the things, the Olympics that also has the Paralympics that has figured out so many different ways in which a body can exist and how we measure that right down to the millimeter of how much of a knee you have and how we make that fair. I think if anyone's going to figure it out, it's going to be the Olympics. And on top of that, the fucking depressing thing of it all is the thing that trans people go through in order to be gender affirming with how their body is. Whilst I'm not a scientist, I would imagine the strain of that, the years it takes, the stuff you have to overcome socially, the financial stability, the discrimination. If at the end of all of that, you're still young enough to compete and it hasn't damaged your fitness levels, because, you know, when we're talking the Olympics, we're talking the tiniest margins of milliseconds to qualify. If you still qualify at the end of all of that, I'd be very surprised. That's the terrifying thing. You know, not saying I don't believe anyone could do it, but the terrifying thing is that this is potentially entirely manageable, but is probably such a lesser problem than people think, because they are just not taking into account what it is to be trans and all the challenges around that. And
tons.
I know that you'll have more to say about this, but we do have to move on to our rules of the game. So
for sure. Yeah. We'll get into that. But I'll just do the real quick hits. Mm-hmm. So first of all, with people in the Olympics, I'm always just like, it's weird that you're so up in arms about like who gets to be in the Olympics and not the fact that none of those athletes get paid. You're kind of a fucked up person. Let's have a bigger conversation about them paying the athletes. Secondly, the devil doesn't need an advocate. He's already evil enough. He advocates for himself plenty. So anytime somebody's like, well, to play devil's advocate, I stop him and go, the devil doesn't need an advocate. But it's a true sign of your character that you would jump so quickly to advocate on the side of the devil, who has only been a sign in history of bad things, evil person, and you're advocating for him. No, that doesn't make any sense. And most of the people who are up in arms about trans women entering women's sports couldn't tell you one WNBA team. Like, you weren't watching women's sports up to this point. You act like you care. Please miss me with that nonsense. You don't actually care. You just need something to bitch about because it makes you feel good, because feeling right is way easier and satisfying in the short term than taking the time to actually understand a human being's actual story and their process and the life they've lived. So it's all nonsense, man. But I think we see eye to eye on this.
Yeah. And there you go. If your biggest problem, if your main rant of the day is somebody's life that has no bearing on you because you clearly don't actually know any trans people, and we're so used to media that excludes trans people from the conversation, from the laws, and yet somehow people assume that's a balanced conversation. It's wild. If that is your main problem of the day, again, privilege. You must be doing great. I'd love to see inside your house. Now, on to our rules of the game. So is there something you try and live by in dating or relationships that you would recommend?
I mean, a lot of what I said earlier about making sure you both are invested in each other's growth is very, very important. I think a fundamental, like foundational component of successful relationships and dating is you need to make sure that you are constantly surprising each other and constantly sharing new experiences with each other. That's so important. So many relationships get so stagnant because they stop going on dates frequently, they stop traveling, they stop going to new shows, they stop having new experiences. And that's why you get that honeymoon phase at the beginning of a relationship, because everything's new. Make sure that you're making a point throughout the course of your entire relationship to experience new things with each other. Get out of your comfort zone. Learn something. Do, especially getting out of your comfort zone, especially if you're a man, because that's so much stuff on our side of things. We're so closed-minded to like, I'm not going to do that. That's this thing. It's like, dude, get your panties out of a bunch and go do a paint night with your lady. It's fun. You can paint a dick in the clouds. I did. So like, yeah, man, it's always be constantly trying to experience new things with your partner. And then you will find out if you're growing together or you're going to grow apart at some point. But ultimately, that's the juice, is we're going to experience new things to each other. I'm taking the time to go, no, we're going to have a date night next Friday and we're going to go do this thing that both of us haven't done, and we're going to experience that together for the first time. And that's going to be dope. It's a type of courting. Woo the person. Constantly be chasing the person. Like, don't let it get stagnant. Let it feel like you're like, oh, they're always there. Homie, someone will swoop and bang them in a heartbeat if you don't pay attention to them. So constantly find new and exciting ways to experience new things over the entire gestation of your relationship, not just in the beginning, and then you'll be okay.
Yes, 100% yes. And I'm going to add something which my rule of the game is potentially a bit of a contrast to a lot of what we've talked about of like behavioral signifiers of ignorance. And that is how much difference it can make when you're out there dating. being nice about other people, how attractive that is. And I think we can take that for granted because it feels like a really simple rule. And yet the other day I was on a date, I was like chatting and being friendly to the waitress. And the person I was on a date with was just staring at me with such admiration. And afterwards I was like, what's up? And they were like, oh, you're just like so lovely with other people. It's really attractive. And I was like, oh, yeah. I'm like, and also that is such an easy thing, you know, that we could all just, well, hopefully enough of us can switch that on and be like, oh, if you're on the date and you catch yourself having a rant about something, maybe we counterweigh that with, okay, talk about like a friend that you're excited about them getting into a new relationship or they've got a new job or whatever. Or yeah, should go without saying, be nice to the serving staff if you're at a restaurant. Show that you are a good person because it's easier than you think.
It's never been easier to be a guy right now and be enticing. It used to be like you had to have like land and status and all this stuff and it was hard. And now it's like, oh, he complimented that lady. Like, just be nice. Just like earlier when I said being a good father is sexy, being a good person is sexy. Mm-hmm. So just like, it's never been easier, guys. It's a layup. Just be a good human being and do that all the time. And you'll be desirable. That's a desirable trait. So yeah, you were being a kind person. Kindness is sexy. We need to get that into people's heads more.
Yes, yes. And don't be a creep. Don't be a creep.
And don't be a creep.
And we will wrap up there then. In a moment, we'll be back with our bit behind the paywall for our Apple Podcast subscribers. And I think I want to ask you about like stupid language around sex, because I think this is another thing we'll have a shared perspective on. And in the meantime, if people want to find more of your work, where should they go online?
Go to milesweber.com, Miles with a Y, Weber 1B. That's where I have a lot of content, my tour schedule, all that fun stuff. Also, if you follow me on all the social medias, at Miles Weber Joker on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, sometimes I tweet, not often. Facebook is at Miles Funny. And you can find me on there. And yeah, I'm just posting a lot of stand-up clips and funny things, sometimes motivational things. So yeah, give me a follow. See what's up.
Mm-hmm. There you go. And if you can already tell by the length of this episode, there's a lot of content that you have out there. And I appreciate that because I know sometimes comics can be worried about like putting too much of their work out there on the internet and be really specific about, oh, only certain things. And, you know, will people have seen it before? And you have so much out there. And so if nothing else, made you real easy to research. So with that all said, we'll wrap up there. Thank you.
Absolutely, man. Thanks.
Thanks for listening.
You can support the show, get ad-free episodes and bonus content by joining our new subscription on Apple Podcasts.
This replaces our Patreon and it's slightly cheaper.
Our show is edited and produced by Pete Murta,
with music by the brilliant Tessa Violet.
Speak to you next Friday. Until then, good luck out there.